Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 453. Science Faction, I call BS.
Now, again, this is one of those, this is essentially just a training montage that you're helping me with. I've been rethinking this, like, I'm like Rocky, and you're like Mick. And Dr. Troy is Apollo Creed.
I thought he was Adrian.
I mean, ideally, if my fan fiction goes through.
Yeah.
If I had my druthers, a catch like Dr. Troy would be my Adrian.
Yeah, he's like 6'2", super smart, yeah.
By the way, I don't know if you've seen Rocky in a while. That scene where he seduces Adrian, quote unquote, that movie won an Oscar, and he basically raped that woman. He
really?
Did not let her leave. She tries to leave several times. He like, and he's like, he's a boxer. He's a professional fighter, former enforcer for the mob, and just would like put his arm up. Hey, how about you stay here? You
know, like, to be fair, that is called Philadelphia Romance. And speaking of Philadelphia Romance, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how you doing?
Doing great. A Pittsburgh Romance is the same thing, but they're wearing Steelers attire. And the guy looks a lot like Bill Cowher.
And from what I remember of Ben Roethlisberger, it happens in, like, the bathroom of a roadside honky-tonk.
Oh, yeah. And 100% of it is committed by Ben Roethlisberger.
All right, I call BS the game where we read four science news articles, some of which are real, some of which are BS, standing for bad science. Normally, we have a science guest host compete against Mr. Mercado here, but since we're still in quarantine, he is competing against himself. Damian, you ready to go?
I am ready to continue my coaching. I was just wondering, though, if for the future coach, sir, if all of your insults could be more constructive, because you just kind of do the equivalent of, like, verbally defecating on me. But there's really no, like, you know, like, I think a good boxing coach or good I call BS coach tries to give tips for how to get better, how to improve your game, how to beat Apollo Creed, how to seduce Dr. Troy.
Sure thing, dumb fuck.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
All right, article number one. A huge cloud of dust from the Sahara Desert is currently crossing the Atlantic on its way to hit Florida and Texas. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. It is headed to Kazakhstan, which is the Florida and Texas of Central Asia.
It's Kazakhstan. Why do you add an extra syllable every time?
My wife pronounced it like that. Oh my God, I feel dirty. But you know what? Fuck it. I don't care.
Actually, David, this is science. These happen actually quite frequently. And actually, this type of transport is a way that certain areas get their nutrients. It's actually a much needed form of nutrient transport where basically huge amounts of sand and minerals and stuff get collected in certain places, specifically in deserts, and the winds will carry them across the world. That's how sometimes islands that are like volcanic islands that can't get certain minerals and nutrients there will get it blown to them literally from places on the other side of the earth. So it's not that this is super rare. This is a particularly big one. Now, it's not going to be like the scene in Brendan Fraser's The Mummy where like the big wall of dirt is coming towards Texas. Like, it's going to be more like the sky is going to be a little bit hazier. There's going to be more particulate matter. The air quality is going to be lower. So it's not like the end of days, but there
people from
is
Florida and Texas shouting at the sand, go back to your own country.
It is interesting to know that these big transport chains come from so far away, like the Sahara Desert across the Atlantic Ocean through the Caribbean Sea and up into Texas. Like, that's a crazy amount of distance for that to travel and then deposit material on the other side of the earth.
Weirdly enough, Florida and Texas were the number one places that the Matthew McConaughey vehicle Sahara actually landed. Most DVD copies of that movie can be found in those two states.
All right, article number two. A 5,200-year-old Irish person of elite status whose remains were interred in a large ceremonial stone structure has been found to be the product of incest. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science, but you have to understand, back then, royal stepmothers would get stuck all the time under beds, under servants, with a horse.
There's also another subgenre where the royal stepson accidentally takes too much, like, I don't know, dick bark, whatever they had back then, that gives them an erection, and then it becomes a medical problem, and the stepmom has to intervene.
I mean, you don't want to talk about this with your dad.
Yeah.
And grandma's too old.
By the way, Dick Bark is my new porn name.
Oh my God. Quietly, we come up with some of the best porn names on this podcast. It doesn't happen every episode, but I'd say once a month, we stumble into a legendary porn name. You know, remember Boogie Nights when he goes, close your eyes and think of your name, and it says Dirk Diggler? We do that once a month on this show.
Yes. Yeah. Dick Bark, either a great porn name or like a pretty bad name for a particular brand of that chocolate peppermint bark that comes out at Christmas time.
See, I was thinking it was a nature condom. a condom for the Birkenstock crowd.
Nobody's enjoying this. Why are we even doing it?
Oh my God, what happened to that lady's vagina? Oh my God, how many hours in surgery?
It could also theoretically be the name of a sound that a dick makes. Like, did you hear that dick bark?
Oh, it doesn't just bark. It also begs. It speaks. Hey, dick, speak. Dick, speak.
Man, that guy's all dick bark and no dick bite.
I mean, the lamest answer is that you have a dog named Dick and you've just trained it to bark. But really, I mean, in the theater of the mind, training your penis to bark, much better.
Indeed, Damien, this is science. So this is from the New Grange Passage Tomb, which is this very large earthen mound. It's very, very big. Go take a look at a picture of it. It's like 4,000 square meters, which is huge. And it's really, really old. Spans from about the 6th millennium or so BC. And this is part of a lineage of very elite people. They were buried in a fashion and a style that lets us know that they were very elite. And this particular individual, whose remains date from about 5,200 years ago, we found through genetic research that he was essentially the product of incest, close incest too, either a brother and sister or a parent and a child. So
not a stepmother is what you're saying. Or they just had to put step in the thing, otherwise it's illegal or something.
I think that's why that might have been what it was. Yeah, somebody else got stuck. Indeed. So what's interesting is they actually did a bunch of genetic studies of a bunch of ancient skeletons from around this time in that area in all the British Isles. And this was the only one out of, like, I think 4 dozen or so that showed signs of incest.
They found a Lannister child.
Yeah, that's right. In certain communities back then, obviously we know about the Egyptians, some of the stuff that was going on in Greece and a few other places, you would marry within your family in order to preserve power. And we think this might have been what was going on here. This is right around a time of a certain change that's going on in the British Isles, as they're some of the last ones to kind of get the agriculture and animal domesticated groups coming in from the Near East. And so this might have been part of that kind of status takeover. But very, very interesting stuff. Interesting that he's the only one. Also one of those things where you're like, was this planned? Was it one of those things where they went, we need to keep power, so you need to marry you? Or was it a dick bark situation like we were talking about before, and nobody even mentioned it, and they didn't know about it back then, and it was secret, and nobody found out till now?
What if one of them just ejaculated in a toilet seat? Oh, hear me out. Hear me out.
You mean a rock?
Where do you pee? I don't understand. No, the peasant's face. Who you use as a toilet?
Article number 3. A 22-year-old Chinese man recently had surgery to remove 29 pounds of feces accumulated by what he described as being constipated since birth. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science, but listen, I too have eaten at Taco Bell. Calm down, big guy. We've all had 32-pounders.
You had a 32-pound fecal blockade from Taco Bell, otherwise known as a $12 Taco Bell bill?
Listen, it's one of those weird things, you know, they say you can't create matter, but yeah. I know I ate 12 pounds of food, yet 37 pounds falls out of me every time.
I think nacho cheese is a non-Newtonian fluid, and it just has different properties.
Science.
This is indeed science, Damien. Now, we don't know that he's been constipated since birth. That's just what he has claimed. But he does have a known disease called Hirschsprung's disease. And in this disease, you basically don't develop nerves all the way down your intestines. So you start from kind of close to your stomach and develop down, 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 down. And if you don't develop because of some issue in your development, you develop this Hirschsprung's disease. And without nerves in that last part, your body cannot move the feces down with muscles because it doesn't have nerves that go to those muscles. And so literally feces cannot move down you. Even if you take laxatives, you could like overdose on laxatives. And because the muscles literally don't work there, it just piles up and piles up and piles up. You can go ahead and check out a picture of this online. It's fucking gross because the doctor, they also take out the part of the dude's intestines. The only cure for this is to remove that part of your intestines because you can't just attach nerves to it. So you have to remove it, plug the new part into the anus, and then just hope everything works well. And so they took out this huge portion of this guy's intestines that is literally filled with shit, with 30 pounds of shit, and took a picture next to it like the guy just caught a trout.
But couldn't you use like positive pressure? Like if I hooked an air compressor up to this dude's mouth, I mean, couldn't we just blow it out?
I mean, there's too many sphincters there, but maybe like a vacuum. Like if you got one of those old bank tube vacuums that you would use when you fill the little thing up with quarters and sent it through the drive-thru.
You hear a thump, and all of a sudden, like there's some banker opens up the thing. Oh my God!
This is the second dirtiest I've ever had this thing be.
I hate working at this branch in Florida. I love the Guinness Book of World Records and that kind of oddity stuff, but I knew the answer to this because years ago, I didn't know the name of the disease, but years ago I heard about this guy. He was like a sideshow freak. He was called like the Great Windbago or something. And like he just looked like he had this body that looked like he took the wrong candy on the Wonka tour. Like he just was like bloated, but it didn't.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. They almost look like pregnant women. In fact, their belly extends past that of like of 9 month pregnant women.
And so eventually he died and the doctors were like, let's figure out what caused this. And then I could only imagine their surprise. Do you think it's filled with schnozberries or is it like, what, is it a tumor? And then all of a sudden, oh my God, it's 60 pounds of feces.
Yeah. And by the way, as somebody who has just had, you know, some of their evacuative functions overflow, let me just say, when those do get released, it's with a tremendous amount of force. So like when they first put the scalpel to the outside of that intestine, things came out rather quickly.
Yeah, like it looks like the toilet's exploding, like somebody put a cherry bomb inside of a toilet that...
It looked like the scene in Pulp Fiction when he accidentally shot the guy in the back of the car. Article number 4. A new paper suggests that gaining a dog park costs a city 30 to 40 extra deaths a year from the seasonal flu. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. The deaths are, there are those deaths. In fact, I would say those deaths might be underreported, but the deaths are not from the flu. They are from suicides by managers at restaurants because the dog park is like a dojo for the Karen. This is where they go to sharpen their blades. They complain against each other. Excuse me, is that dog? My dog doesn't normally show his teeth. What did your dog do to my dog? And these are where these Karens really spar against each other and sharpen their blades. And then they go out in the community and make service employees' life hell.
That's why most suicide places are clustered around dog parks. It's whoever's working near a dog park.
Exactly. Suicides don't exist outside of a dog park.
So actually, Damon, you are correct. This is bad science. But they did find that a city gets an extra 30 to 40 deaths by flu per year when they get a professional sports team. This is really interesting so that you can kind of understand why. Obviously, people are gathering in large places. Somebody has the flu. It spreads around to a lot more people. And then statistically, somebody dies. The way they did this was really interesting. Because you can't just compare one city to another. There's different factors. There's, well, you know, whether or not people are driving or close to each other, whatever. So they actually looked at flu mortality in cities as they gained or lost NHL, NBA, MLB, and NFL teams. They even looked at it when there were things like strikes on the season, like the big Major League Baseball strike and all that stuff, and how that affected flu mortality. And they found that the games served as huge transmission events that account for enough transmissions that they cause a 4 to 24% increase in flu deaths, amounting to 30 to 40 extra citizens to die every year. Now, keep in mind, not only does that mean that every time we are saying, let's bring that sports team in here, we are saying we are going to sacrifice, you know, 400 people to the NHL gods over the next decade. Not only are you saying that, but think about it. That's just deaths from that. I bet you DUI deaths are a lot bigger. I bet you domestic violence deaths are bigger. I bet you there's a lot more bigger deaths in all those. But not just that. If you have 30 to 40 extra deaths, think how many extra people are actually just getting the flu, right? Like the flu doesn't just kill people. It causes you to be miserable for a week. It causes huge financial hardships. Maybe you have to be hospitalized, takes away your ability to work or participate in society and all this stuff. So think how much horrible things happen just because we have professional sports teams, which is why this time period is so interesting. Without this, because of Corona and everything else, not having those, it will be really interesting to see what happens with flu deaths. It'll be interesting to see if we're just better off this way. And it also gives us an interesting model to kind of view Corona through, because now we're talking about having an NFL season with fans in the audience. And if that happens, well, fuck, we better expect that we're going to have a lot of these super transmission events.
Question, were all of these statistics about deaths in a city, did they factor in the Raiders?
Yeah, that's true. Like 40% of them happened when the Raiders were in town.
Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, if you cut the Raiders out of this, the whole Venn diagram shrinks exponentially.
Yeah, here's what's funny, David. I looked into the numbers a little bit. Do you want to guess which sport? I listed it. It's NHL, NBA, MLB, and NFL. Which sport causes the highest level of flu deaths?
NHL.
You're right. It is the NHL. Now we are, again, the fans flu deaths. Yes.
It's indoors. It's cold. It's flu season.
Yep.
It's cold.
Yep, all of those things.
And hockey fans tend to make out with the person to their left and right. That's just a hockey thing.
Yeah.
I wish we had it in football.
Yeah. That's actually, most people don't know that that's what a quote unquote Bruin is. You've probably heard of, you know, like the Boston Bruins and stuff. A Bruin is
a beer.
No, a Bruin is a hockey fan making out with another hockey fan.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a Montreal handshake, but I see that we're...
A Montreal handshake is just the Shocker, but with one extra finger.
Which all Canadians have.
All right. Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 453, where you learned all about a huge dust cloud coming from the Sahara across the Atlantic Ocean to hit Florida and Texas. How a 5,200-year-old Irish person of elite status turned out to be the only example of ancient incest we could find in the area. How a 22-year-old man had surgery to remove 29 pounds of excess feces that he believed to be accumulated by what he described as being constipated since birth. And how professional sports teams cost cities 30 to 40 extra flu deaths a year. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 454.
That's right, ladies. It's me, Dick Bark. But you want to know what the secret to pleasuring ladies is? It's having 32 pounds of feces stuck inside of you.
You've been listening to Science Function. Wait, that's not right.